Well, this is the last week of the Preacher Showcase, all right? So if you have been with us the last 3 weeks, Danny has taken some time off to prepare and study, getting ready for the fall. And so he's asked several of us to preach. If you're new to joining us online or in person today, we're concluding a series in which four of us have been the preachers, and I'm the last one. Now, this has taken place historically, if you've been here. Danny has taken this opportunity in the past summers, and he has those guys preach. He's called them the young guns until this year when I had to join the ranks of those. And so it's the young guns and the old guy, all right? But I changed it to OG and the young guns because that sounds like it could go on the road and we could have a hit with that, all right? But I'm the last one as we wrap up this series on the Lord's Prayer. We've been learning about prayer for 4 weeks now. Been looking at the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Eleanor reminded us a few minutes ago in the Shades News that we are in the midst of this emphasis that we're calling 1 month. I really thank you for participating in that and want to encourage you to continue to participate in that, because the greatest emphasis of 1 month has been that of prayer for the sake of evangelism, for the opportunities for us to introduce Jesus into some conversations. And this week, we have a special emphasis that we're calling the One School. You saw that. We hope that you'll text the One School to the number. In fact, we can show that on the screen real quick. It's that 205 number. Some of you are already texting, so why not go ahead and do that right now, all right? So 205-749-7244. Text One School and just follow the prompts from there and join in the time of praying. We have been praying. This past week was about one street. And we've encouraged you all to be prayer walking your streets or your neighborhood, your complex. Part of our evangelism training that Mike Lazenby and I have been teaching is that as we're following Jesus and wanting to have gospel conversations, that maybe there's a practice that we need to institute. And that is that there comes a time where we say, hey, on this date, we're going to make a date. On this date, we're going to look to step into a conversation and introduce Jesus into that conversation. So at the beginning of this week, as I'm thinking about prayer walking my street, I made a commitment. I said, on Friday, if I've not had the opportunity to engage in a conversation with somebody, sometime on Friday, I'm going to step into a conversation and I'm going to introduce Jesus into that conversation. So Friday rolls around, Friday afternoon, I'm at my house, the doorbell rings, open the door, and it's a service technician. He's there to treat the trees. You guys did not warn me about how bad caterpillars are, okay? Those little things are like eating us out of house and home. I mean, it's just incredible. So my tree's been covered with them, and I called in the special guy to come and treat that this week. And so he shows up, and it wasn't 10 seconds into that conversation where he says, I'm here to treat, you know, your trees for the caterpillars. And by the way, you have this beautiful home here. Hey, it reminds me of my favorite verse, Joshua 24:15, which says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going, okay. He said, in fact, last week I was reading in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40. It talks about that those who wait on the Lord. You know, we got a lot of things happening, but those who wait on the Lord, they're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run. They're going to walk. They're going to overcome all that. And we've got a lot to overcome, don't we? I said, He said, in fact, 1 Peter, when I was reading that the other day, 1 Peter is talking about the hope that we have. And I interrupted him. I just said, in Jesus, right? Aren't we thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus? Because I was not about to let him introduce Jesus in the conversation before I did. That was my prayer, and I was going to do it. I was not going to let him beat me to that. He went on with probably 3 or 4 other verses as he's getting all of his equipment together. I'd already told him I'm a pastor, but I thought, isn't this awesome? This guy is sharing the gospel with me. He's witnessing to me, but I got Jesus into the conversation first, all right? That was my prayer, and I wasn't about to let him beat me to it. You know, that really wasn't quite what I had in mind when I prayed that prayer, made that commitment at the beginning of the week. I had something else in mind of what I was going to do and how that was going to work out. And that was my prayer. God, give me the opportunity. Help me to step into something. But have you ever prayed and then wondered if you prayed correctly? Have you ever prayed and thought, did I say it just right? Or did I use the right words? What do you pray for when you pray? I mean, what is the focus of your prayers? There's lots of questions around learning about prayer. And we've been for 4 weeks now looking at the Lord's Prayer. Our hope, though, as we started this series, was not just that we would learn about prayer, but that we would become a praying people. And that's our hope, even today as we conclude this, that all of us have moved a little further down the road in being a praying people. We've been working through the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, and we come to this final verse, this last petition. And it really is the crescendo. It's the climax of where Jesus ends this prayer. So I'll invite you to join with me as you take your Bibles or turn in your Bibles, turn on your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And once again, I'm going to read through the entire Lord's Prayer. But keep in mind this ending and think about the energy that's behind this as he's teaching the disciples how to pray. Jesus says this in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's how Jesus said we're to pray. That's the framework, to pray like that. That is the big time prayer. Or as Matt Chandler, a pastor in Texas, says, that's the varsity prayer. It's the pinnacle. It's the ultimate prayer. Holy is your name. Hallowed. Reverence. Respect. Acknowledging that you are king and we ask your kingdom to come. The reign of what it looks like in our life. Everything we need for life and for righteousness, it comes from you. And what we also need in verse 13 is to not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, some of your translations may have a footnote or an extension to that. It goes like this, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we sing that. For those of us who've been in church, we sing that. Michael wasn't here. I'd probably, you know, burst in the song. Wouldn't be good, but I'd burst in the song. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Why aren't those words found in all of the translations? It's because those are not in some of the oldest manuscripts. And it doesn't take away from the truth of God's word, but they're not just really sure if some scribes added that as a footnote or as a capsuling that prayer. Either way, it still has power behind it. And it captures the totality of the prayer. When Jesus is instructing us how to pray, he's saying that our prayers, in verse 13, he says, our prayers are to be this personal, passionate petition of, God, don't let me stray. Keep me from the things that are going to cause me to fall away from you, that's going to separate me from. Keep me away from the evil one's temptations. God, stay close to me. Guide me through this time. See, it's coming right off of the petition that Chad preached on last week, did a fantastic job about giving us, you know, forgiveness. God, forgive us of our debts, our sins, Father, as we forgive others. In other words, we've been made right and good with you. We've asked for that forgiveness. Now keep me close to you. Keep me in that right relationship with you. Don't let me stray away. Rescue me. Protect me. That's what Jesus is saying how to pray. Is that how you pray? If so, you're praying just as Jesus instructed us to pray in this model prayer. But we know that we have freedoms to pray even beyond that. I mean, Paul instructed us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says it this way. He says, hey, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we have freedom, in other words. We have encouragement to talk to God about everything in our life. God wants us to talk to him. He loves for us to just have a conversation with him. But in this prayer, in the conclusion, in the climax of this prayer, this model prayer, Jesus is teaching us that We need to pray for two things that we have need of. And they're both found in him, by the way. The guidance from temptation to sin. And deliverance from the one who wants us to sin. Why is that important? Because sin is what separates us in a relationship with Jesus. Sin is what distances us from God's presence and power in our life. So he says, pray. Pray that you're guided away from those times when you're tempted to sin and fall away, and from the one who wants you to sin and fall away. So in this final petition, Jesus instructs us in these two things. First of all, is to ask for his guidance from the areas where we are weak. To ask for guidance in those areas from which we are weak. Jesus saying, Father, don't let me fall. Teaching his disciples, go before the Father. Hallow his name. Reverence him, but say, God, don't let me fall away from you. Keep me close. Don't let me go there. And you know where there is? There is any of that place that separates us from Jesus. When you have a temptation, he's saying, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Pray that you don't even get close to that temptation. Now, James chapter 1, verse 2 says it a little differently, though. James 2:1-2 says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What James is telling us is that, hey, when you find yourself in a place where you're being tempted or tested, just consider it joy, because what God is doing is he's helping perfect your faith. He's making your faith better and stronger. But Jesus is saying here in this prayer, our prayer is, don't let me get so close to a temptation that I fall away. Help me. Guide me. Give me direction in those times. Hey, in regards to directions, it's been said that there's two groups of people when it comes to directions, right? There's the group of people who stop and ask. You know, they ask for people where to go and how to get to where they're going. And then there's that other group that we call men that don't stop and ask, okay? We don't always ask for help, do we? It might be because of the way we're raised. It might be because of this idea that we've got to be independent and, you know, we can make it. We don't want to bother anybody. But at the base of this, when we refuse to ask for help, the base of that is really pride. To pray the way that Jesus instructs us to ask for his help, it calls for humbleness. James 4:10 says this. It's just a clear command. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. To acknowledge that we need help. And listen, all of us need help. As strong and as independent as we may be, as much as we have everything together in our life, we all need help in certain areas. We all have weaknesses. What are those areas in your life that you are maybe prone to, or that is a weakness, if you will? Those areas of temptation that you know when you're in the proximity of that, it pulls you away, could pull you away from your closeness with Jesus. Well, to understand that, it calls for us to have a self-awareness, an understanding of that. I really think that most of us have some sense of self-awareness. The older we get, we recognize certain places, environments, people, situations. We know the effect that they have on us. We know that those times or those places where we might be tempted to give into, to participate, to join alongside of, that actually pulls us away from a relationship with Jesus. We know that, but we don't always want to acknowledge it. And we certainly don't always want to ask for help. Hey, listen, I've got a weakness. It's a huge weakness. It's called sugar. Okay, so I tell you, I have a weakness for sugar in my life. And the older I've gotten, the worse it's gotten. I'm really kind of embarrassed by it, but it's gotten worse. Okay, so I have this tooth right here. All right, it's called my sweet tooth. All right, and so it acts up every now and then. I can walk into the house All right, this is probably just me, but I can walk into the house and it starts throbbing. Because, see, I know that there's a new package of cookies somewhere in that house, or a little Debbie Swiss cakes, or whatever the case may be, or there might be some ice cream, and I can just sense it's there. I tell you what, the worst for me is the peanut butter M&Ms, all right? Anything with chocolate and peanut butter, I'm toast after that. It's just wrong for me. And so it doesn't matter if we try to hide them. It's like radar. I can find sugar. And listen, I am an equal opportunity befriender. I like all kinds of sugar. Anyway, I'm weak when it comes to sweets. I really can't be around them. I asked Melody not to buy them, to store them, because I'm going to find them, because I'm going to give in to that temptation. Hey, the other night, I have surgery a couple of weeks ago, and I've been in this recovery time, and thank you for your prayers and notes and all that, doing much better and all that. But earlier this week, I was just feeling a little weak, and that tooth was throbbing. And so I thought, man, I got to get some help. So I called a couple of friends. Their names are Ben and Jerry. And so I thought I was just going to visit with them for a little while. But after about 20 minutes and a pint of ice cream later, they were gone. All right. I just gave in to that. I'm weak in that area. I need help in that area. All right. So I'm confessing that. Hey, all of us have areas that we're weak in. All of us have areas that we need help in. That's not a judgment. That's our humanity. What are those areas for you? What are those places for you? Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, he is most concerned about our relationship. He wants us to stay close to him, to stay with him. And so he says, pray in those places, or those people, or those situations, those activities, or those experiences that we're prone to maybe fall into and be tempted to fall away from the Lord, pray that I'll guide you through that, that I'll keep you from that, that I'll stay close to you, because he loves you. He wants to have that relationship with you. But you know, the Bible tells us, though, if as we follow Jesus, we find ourselves in one of those places, in one of those experiences, in one of those environments, that as we're following Jesus, he makes a promise to us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, listen, there's no temptation that has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted above your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He says, look at me. Lean into me. Look for him. The focus is to shift from that temptation to the one who's overcome that temptation, to the one who's greater than that temptation. He will not let you go to a place that you can't handle as you're following him. And this prayer, Jesus is saying, as he wraps up this model prayer, he says, pray that when those temptations come along, that you lean into me, that I will guide you through that or away from that so that you don't fall away. Pray. And ask for that guidance. But Jesus also concludes this petition with instructions of how we're to pray, that we're to ask not only for guidance in the areas we're weak, but to ask for deliverance from the grasp of the evil one. Now, many of our translations says, deliver us from evil. But in the original language, there's actually a definite article in front of that, which says the evil. And most scholars believe that it's in reference to Satan. Deliver us from the evil one, the one who wants to tempt us, the one who wants to distract us or take us away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, in the first part of this petition, he says, don't let me go to a place where the temptation is too strong. That's how we're to pray. The second part is to rescue me from the one, the evil one, who wants to get a hold of me, who wants to take life from me. Pray to be free from him. The imagery is that of someone in quicksand. Now, I've I've never been in quicksand. Some of you might have. I'm not an expert in quicksand. I mean, all that I know about quicksand is what I see in the movies and television, and we know that that's accurate. And so what I see on those movies and television shows is that when you fall into quicksand, the more you struggle and the more that you try to get out of that, the faster you sink down. But if you were to stop and simply reach up and ask, help me, save me, it might be a person standing by that can lift you up or a branch that you can grab a hold of or something like that. But the fact is that you surrender. And Jesus is saying, the evil one is out there. And I can bring you deliverance from him. But it calls, first of all, for honesty. You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with the fact that you are in the clutches of the evil one. See, the greatest temptation that Satan throws at us that actually prevents us from turning to Jesus is we start believing his lies. He is the father of lies. And so when we've given into those whispers or when we've stepped into a temptation and we've separated ourselves, we've fallen away from Jesus, or maybe for some who are watching us or tuning in, some in this room, you know that you're not even in a relationship with Jesus. He whispers this lie and he says, hey, you're okay. You're good. No one really knows. You know, I mean, you like God. You're a good person. You're not that bad off. Everyone does what you do. You know about those areas that you fall into or that you follow after. They're really not God-honoring, but hey, no big deal. Everyone cheats a little bit, right? Lying is not that big a deal. I mean, it was just a little lie. Hey, you can kick that habit, that thing that you know you probably shouldn't be doing. You can kick that anytime that you want. And that little habit that maybe started when you were 20-something, college, or maybe thereafter, 20 years later, you find that you're still engaged in it. You're still imprisoned by it. And the deliverance that Jesus can bring calls for us to be honest about that, first of all. And it also calls for a spiritual awareness. What do I mean by that? We just need to recognize this, folks. Satan is bigger than all of us. He's been at this a long, long time. In fact, this is what the Bible says about this. In Ephesians 6:12, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers, over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's what we wrestle against. Not just things in our flesh and blood, but things greater in a spiritual sense. 1 Peter 5:8 says this about Satan. Hey, be sober-minded. Be diligent, in other words. Be watchful. Keep your eyes out. Your adversary, he's our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what the Bible says about the evil one. He's ready to pounce. He's ready to destroy. So in spite of all of our goodness, in spite of all of our efforts, in spite of all the fact that we're struggling and we're trying, but we're in quicksand, in spite of all that, we can't defeat him in and of ourselves. You can't save yourself from Satan's grip. You can't overcome that in and of yourself. To receive deliverance from the sins that have separated us from God, regardless of maybe what you have done, regardless of what you're currently doing, regardless how deep you may be into something, to receive freedom from that and deliverance from that, we have to surrender to Jesus. You are not beyond freedom. Some of you need to hear that today. Jesus said, when you pray, ask him to keep you from temptation, but also receive from him the deliverance from the evil one. And you receive this through surrender. See, guidance and deliverance is received through surrender. So I'm going to ask us just to be honest this morning. Well, maybe we didn't come into this time or tune into this time with this kind of mindset or this understanding, but I want to ask you to be honest. Is there some part of your life that you know that the evil one really has a grip on you? Maybe you've tried to break free. You've struggled, you've wrestled, and maybe there's been moments of freedom, but you find yourself again back in those clutches. You find yourself back there again. Listen to me. You're so loved by Jesus Christ that He gave His life for you in order that He could free you from that. There is no shame in being caught in the clutches of the evil one. Because that's part of our humanity, our fallen humanity. We call it sin. And Jesus says, if you will give up, if you will surrender, if you will turn to me, I am the one who can set you free. I am the one who can deliver you from that. But you have to surrender to Him. For 4 weeks, we have been talking about praying. And as we come to the end of this series and the end of this service, I just wanted us, in our homes or wherever we may be watching, and in this room, to take just a few moments that are unhurried, that are unrushed. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and they're going to get in their place. In just a few moments, they're going to lead us through a response time. But what I'm going to ask for all of us right now, here in this room, all of you joining online, if you will just stop for a moment and pray. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Go to a place where you are meeting with Jesus. And I want you to take just a moment and breathe. To just rest there for a moment. And in this moment, would you receive from Him this love that He has for you? As you just bow before Him, would you see from Him that He is extending a hand to you? Wherever you may be, whether you're on top of the world and life is going great, or whether you recognize you stepped into some temptation, and you stepped away from Jesus, whether or not you feel like you are caught in the grip of the evil one, He is extending a hand to you right now with eyes of mercy and grace and a heart of love. He extends that hand to you. He says, I love you. I want to walk with you through this time. I want to set you free. Would you take just a moment and receive that? That's good news. We call it the gospel. That He loves us, He forgives us, and He accepts us into a relationship for all of eternity. So, Father, I thank You that regardless if we're watching online somewhere around the world, or whether we're seated in this room right now, that You know exactly where we are. Father, I thank You that that place that we are in, God, You are right there with us. And You love us enough that, Father, You says, I can deliver you. I can set you free. To give to you not just an eternal life to come, but a life that's full, abundant, purposeful, meaningful right now. And what You call for us to do is just to extend our hands to You and say, God, I need You. And I surrender. So help us, Father, to do that. And to receive from You this wonderful gift of life in the person of Jesus. We thank You for this prayer that You showed us how to pray of who You are and what You will do for us. And I pray that, God, in these days ahead, we would continue to be a people of prayer. As we close out this time, I'm going to invite you to stand with me now. And we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together. This is going to be your amen to the prayer. And let's think about it this way. Even online as you're watching, this is your chance. Stand, if you will, and just recite this. And remember how it ends. All right? So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.